sexy, spooky bones.
Hello and welcome to The Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
John!
And welcome to the show. This week we will review Possession. I don't know if you want to be called John, Johnny, Yellow Jackets like the last episode.
J-Flo.
Cut my life into pieces.
Where did I leave off? As always, John will give us the plot in five words. We'll give our first thoughts, and then we go to a deep spoiler analysis. But first, we go back to TV Corner and back to watching Yellow Jackets Season 2, Episode 1, titled, I don't have it prepared, but I think it's called
Friends, Romans, Countrymen.
Friends, Romans, Countrymen, yes. So we are back for Season 2. It kind of worked out nicely that we finished the first season, and season two picked up like the next week. I don't know. That just kind of worked out that way nicely. So,
this is like working out really well. It's going to be a bummer when we have to drop it to move on to From. But,
From might be good.
We're going to have to drop Yellow Jackets because there's no room for. We're going to go back to From.
Yeah.
We've waited 10 long years, I think. My math could be off on that. I have a question about this episode already off the bat.
Okay, hit me.
Lauren Ambrose was credited at the beginning of the episode in the intro credit.
Mm-hmm.
Why? I don't recall seeing her, and I thought maybe I missed her somewhere.
Yeah, we didn't get adult Van this episode. I've been kind of disappointed, but I guess we got adult Lottie. So now we got established who adult Lottie is or was.
Oh. And I can finally say my gripe after a full season and then coming back to this. I got super excited that our intro involved Sharon Van Etten like song playing. I was like, fuck yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But then the actual intro credits played, and then that song from the first season played again. And I'm like, I don't like this song.
I skip it. Yeah, I do skip it. Yeah, I'm like, I mean, it's not bad. I like it, but I don't want to hear it every week. Is that like every?
To me, it just sounds like somebody tried to do an edgy version of Put It on the Ritz. So it sounds silly to me every time I listen to it.
Yeah. And, well, my other gripe was this: with this, is that I think they goofed because they killed the other religious girl. And how interesting would it have been if we had Laura Lee and now the sort of spiritual Lottie on opposite teams? Because we're definitely going opposite. Because you mentioned the opening title sequence, and in the opening title sequence, I watched it this time, and definitively has the girls, certain girls, like in full gear, full like winter gear, like running with like weapons. So I'm assuming they're going to clash with another group of girls. So I think there's going to be a division and my early guess is that Natalie doesn't seem like she's going to be associated with that more spiritual group. Is,
like going to go full on ripping off Lost?
Yes. I'm okay with that. I'm here for it. I don't care what it is.
No, I'm tired of people ripping off Lost. That's why I'm excited to go back to From, which is nothing like Lost.
Right? I know. okay, let's we should probably talk about the episode. We're just talking about peripherally what the episodes are. So this is a Lottie-centric episode. We finally get our first really cool opening shot with them getting saved. We kind of see that happening. And I think they mentioned they were, which I didn't know this before, they were gone for like 19 months.
Yes. Oh, they have mentioned it, yeah. Oh, okay. In the first season a lot, yeah.
Oh, okay. I missed the beginning. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we stay with Lottie, and she returns. She becomes catatonic. She doesn't talk. No emotion.
Yeah. And then they do shock therapy, right?
They do shock therapy. She doesn't speak. They put her into psychiatric help. And she ends up. So there are in that scene, they establish the fact she has a gift now that she has this like touch, she touches their chest and kind of coerces them, manipulates them into calming down or like seeing what she's seeing because she's like, how would you describe it?
A soothsayer. I don't know.
She's like doing like witch stuff. Wiccan. she's like, she has like a healing ability. That's going to be her gift, I guess, which is really cool.
Yes, we're dealing more with the cover up of Adam.
Yep. We should do Shauna. You want to just get into Shauna's? We could break it down by like adult girls.
If you'd like. Shauna's daughter just for some reason refuses to mind her own fucking business.
I know, dude, she's the fucking worst. Yeah, and Shauna,
no, my parents are not allowed to be happy now. I'm gonna make sure they get locked up for life.
I know, she's gonna hang that over their head the entire season now. So Shauna is trying to still cover up the murder. And we open with like an investigation, and Misty is like leading that investigation. And right away we see that Shauna's kind of like easily, like kind of weak and easily manipulated to do talking. And so she's clearly, this is
a thing for ears too, right?
Yeah. And we'll get to that. And then I think that it's interesting you mentioned that, because like I feel like Shauna has, it's all perpetrated on the fact that like Shauna's like stay-at-home wife. She has like the perfect family, but she has like this whole darker side to her. And it's kind of, it goes all the way back to like the first season when she was annoyed with the rabbits, right? And she like basically killed them out of like just anger, spite, or whatever. And she like,
she doesn't
them.
Have any sort of remorse about murdering somebody either.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, she's more concerned about like, oh, I don't want to get caught. Ooh.
Yeah. And she,
like, she stabbed that dude and then was like, oopsies.
Mm-hmm. What we got out of that interrogation is that she's still holding on to some of Adam's stuff, like his wallet, basically, like ID, money, stuff like that, keys. And she puts together that Adam is a painter and that Adam may have painted her Titanic style. Paint me like your French women, Adam. So then they ended up going to his art studio with Jeff. He has like tons of portraits painted of Shauna. So they destroy them with paint thinner or whatever. And
they also like were like, oh, we got to make sure we don't leave any evidence behind. Like, we got to make sure we don't leave any DNA behind at all. Yeah. So no fingerprints, make sure you don't sweat anywhere, and definitely no cum in case we fuck randomly here.
So, what'd you think of that? What'd you think of that, Shauna?
I think it's like I want to believe Shauna found one of her kinks.
Yeah.
And that Jeff is just trying to deal with it. And I think it is making them closer. I was actually kind of, I found it endearing. I don't know. I kind of am pro their relationship becoming strong.
Yeah, they seem to be on the same side, but I did see some cracks this episode because Shauna confessed that she was turned on by the idea of Jeff sleeping with somebody else.
Oh, that's the kink I was talking about, yeah.
Right. So she kind of like, and she kind of shares it with Jeff and this kind of inappropriate time, which Jeff kind of like leads into, but but after that, Jeff starts behaving differently, right? He's like, he doesn't seem as on board with what's happening, perfectly illustrated by him listening to Papa Roach in the car.
That was awesome.
Dude, Jeff's like the fucking best character.
That was a moment. I think like I text you, right?
Yeah.
I was like, fucking Papa Roach. He's just like hitting shit. I'm like, oh man. Yeah, I guess he is that age to think, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just funny. It wasn't even like a long scene. It didn't really add anything, but it was perfect.
Yeah. I think that we should probably mention that Teen Shauna is, it's now 2 months in the wilderness. Oh, 2 months since Jackie died. And Shauna's still like the one doing the cutting of the meat and all that, like rationing it.
She's the only one that knows how to dress the animals and all that, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so she's now staying longer out in the little fridge that they have over there.
Well, she's got a, it's not just her, right? It's her buddy.
Yeah, she has a buddy now.
Definitely alive. Jackie, who has no dirt, looks perfectly clean.
Yeah, so this is another fucking fucked up moment where Shauna seems, Teen Shauna is clearly hasn't got over the fact that it's guilt ridden with the fact that Jackie died. And is holding the body there and talking to it. And everybody knows now in the cabin that she spends a lot of time out there talking to Jackie. And they have a funny scene where she does one of those, like, I guess, quizzes or something. And she, like, Jackie, like, points to all the things that she's going to do with her life.
And which are all like spot on. Yeah.
It's like spot on. Yeah. Which is fucking crazy. Except for, like, the $1 million. I mean, she was going to be a millionaire, so.
We'll I mean, see. Maybe that's foreshadowing, yeah.
Yeah, foreshadowing, yeah.
I'm also wondering if you think there's a potential to resurrect Jackie?
I think this is... I don't think so. I think this is what I thought that we were... How they were going to use that character. Like, just constantly just kind of being this ghost there. You know, pop up in, like, supernatural scenes and the way they used her this way, where she's kind of just already in the area where they prepare meat. And of course we kind of alluded to the fact that Shauna's like the first one to go cannibal, right? She's the one that eats Jackie's ear after the loft, right? Like it.
Well, yeah, she got in an argument with Jackie, even though Jackie's not there. And then the body of Jackie fell down. I forgot how that happened.
She like hit it, something. Yeah.
She was trying to catch her and she accidentally ripped her ear off, which like they make like a nice little chewy snack.
Wildly, this episode ends with Teen Shauna. Okay. So like the ear falls off and she panics. She tries to put it back on or whatever, but she stuffs it in her pocket and then she goes about her day or whatever. And at the end of this episode, she takes it out. She looks at it for a long time, and then she eats it.
She kind of looks at it throughout the episode too. Like once in a while, she'll pull it out, just kind of look at it for a second, and kind of put it away. So maybe I thought she was just trying to like think of Jackie, but I guess she was just being tempted to eat it. I don't know. Maybe she wanted Jackie to be a part of her so badly. I don't know.
And that's also where we get our. Our title, Friends, Romans, and Countrymen.
Yeah.
Lend me your ears, which is, I think, the Julius Caesar? Right. Speech. Sure.
That makes me believe they are going to cook Jackie. So, yeah, I don't think there's any Jackie's room for resurrection the more I think about it.
I think I was right. I think Jackie's going to get eaten. She wasn't the girl running in the snow. I think she's going to be the, well, it's going to be one of these other girls that they just randomly introduced, which I thought was the worst part of this episode.
No, what'd you think? I remember seeing that character in the last episode of the last season. She like randomly popped up because I was like, wait, it's that girl again. We just haven't seen her at all except for the very first episode.
Fuck. Yeah. I just was, that could be true. Yeah. I just don't like, you know, I hate bringing that up, but Lost did this shit too. Where they would just like, classically, they brought up two characters nobody had heard of and Lost, and people hated it, and they hate those characters, and they had to like change plans and kill them. And I feel like they're being set up because, of course, they're the ones that are going to get eaten. The three girls, which I don't have their names, but the way they did it, I think, is so clunky. It's so clunky to introduce characters that supposedly have been there this entire time, right?
Yeah, like, oh, for sure, because they would have definitely been in the Dooms coming episode. Mm-hmm. They definitely would have been up in the attic when they had that thing, you know, like. Oh, yeah. And the little Javi has been fucking missing. He's definitely probably dead and or living off the land somewhere. I don't know.
So that's maybe. Oh, so that brings me a couple of theories. Like either he's going to get involved with the supernaturalness of this all, or he's the one that gets out and escapes. Because Shauna, in the like previously on Shauna, I forgot to mention the Doom Coming episode that Shauna tells him like, run. So he's just like, boom, he like darted the fuck all the way out.
Yeah,
so he technically could be the one to save them all or like give their location. Possibly. I don't know. There's just two things. Sure. Either that or he's going to be part of the supernaturalness of the series. Because we haven't, well, for one, we don't know if he's alive. We haven't met an adult Javi. So, yeah. And he.
But we also haven't met an adult Van, so we don't even know if she survived.
Yes, yeah, true.
Even though it's all over IMDb.
Yeah. And part of the ads and everything. She's like in the title sequence too, like in the opening credits. But yeah.
No. But you keep saying Lauren Ambrose, but she's playing a character named Vanessa, not Van.
We should probably talk about Van. Van is with Thaisa, and they have still together, and they've created
in love.
They're dating. I'm assuming they're dating or something, right? They're sleeping together.
They had that whole scene, the thing where they love each other.
Yeah, that's true. Which is actually conveniently perfect because the wife's out of the picture with the weird kid.
So that's true.
She's going to swoop in.
Yeah, which is strange because why would she leave Thaisa? Everything seems perfectly normal.
So Thaisa is we find out that she's a sleepwalker, which actually makes sense because that's pretty much what we know about her. She's was the girl outside the tree. Yeah. She was eating the dirt, and you and I suspected that maybe this was due to a high amount of stress that she would go through. So,
but it could also be a supernatural thing.
It also could be a supernatural thing. Yeah.
My guess is we're gonna meet Van over at that encampment, which I guess could lead us into where Natalie's been because she got kidnapped in the last episode.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to assume Van is there because Van is on Lottie's side of things in the past.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, we don't know if that relationship continued because Misty, the one with Misty, didn't. So Van could be there or she could just be like living her life or something, you know.
We'll get to Misty. If she's just like forever my favorite character. But yeah, so like Natalie being kidnapped and she's been tied up and acting kind of badass, is able to easily trick the person that is supposed to like take care of her guard.
Yeah.
And it's not like anybody's like trying
that hard. Yeah.
Yeah. They're just like, hey, you're not supposed to be out here. I'm like, okay.
She's like, fuck you. Swinging shit. Yeah. Little much.
Yeah. And she runs around and then, yeah, finally sees Lottie and is like, I'm going to fucking kill Lottie. And Lottie's like, well, I have a message from Travis. And also, if it weren't for me, you would have been dead, right? Because she would have killed herself. Which is like also a little convenient. Like, were they waiting outside and being like, okay, she's actually going to shoot herself. Now we'll come in and kidnap her.
The exact moment. Yeah. Yeah. And they clearly are setting up that Natalie never liked, or they never believed with Lottie's supernaturalness, even though like Lottie was doing like making them drink like some blood tea or something for protecting them to go hunt.
Oh yeah. And they also, adult Lottie has them sacrifice some older dude, right?
Clearly she's made a cult out of her ability and her gift and stuff like that. So maybe to be a part of that cult is, well, I don't know. I mean, the guy was like in the ground or something. So I'm assuming they were going to kill him or something.
I don't understand. Yeah. Well, hopefully, yeah. I'm assuming we're going to get more answers. That's basically all we get for Natalie. We don't get too much from Natalie on this episode.
No, not too much of a Misty either, other than their...
Oh, but that scene where she's trying to figure out what happened to Natalie, and she is trying to get information out of the clerk at the motel.
Oh, yeah.
And he's clearly in on it, but she breaks into the hotel room, the motel room that Natalie was in. I just like all the dialogue. Like, she's talking to the clerk. She's like, hey, did you see somebody, like, you know, very stunning, but looks like she could kill you, or she will kill you. Lady, walk in, blah, blah, blah. And she, like, walks into that bedroom, and she just is like, just left without saying bye. Come on. How stupid can you be, Misty? Don't cry. Don't cry. And she starts to cry. But then she sees the door, and she's like, ah. Like, I don't know. I just love her character. It's very good.
Yeah.
Great choices.
Yeah, definitely. One little note I want to add is that teen Natalie is making a map with Ben.
Yes, that's right. With Ben, yeah.
Yeah, so they're kind of figuring out
all the areas. And Travis is getting a little...
Got a boner.
Losing it. losing it a little bit, trying to find Javi.
So he had a moment where he thought he saw Javi dead in the snow, but it ended up being like a fox.
Already petrified fox.
Decaying fox or something. So, but then they have Travis has like a panic attack of some sorts. Like, he's having like an episode, and Lottie does the thing where she touches his chest and like calms him down, but he ends up seeing stuff and then has like a reaction to it, gets a boner, visions of the stump.
And then his stump.
His stump goes to 12. And gun was loaded.
Those choices are pretty good. But I will say, even though it was a small amount of screen time, the Misty character had like some of the best choices in the episode.
Yeah.
And I'm like very excited for this newcomer actress to come in and show off what she can do.
I've never heard of Simone. I think that kind of covers the entire episode. But I've never heard of the actress Simone Kessel that plays the adult Lottie.
Yeah, I am not too familiar with her either. Or, yeah, whoever missed the Christina Ricky.
She was in Our Flag Means Death. Did you watch that show?
I did. So if she is that main character, no, I don't think. I don't remember who she is in Our Flag.
Okay, she may have a small part. I don't know how. She had two years and two episodes, apparently, in her IMDb. No knock on the actress. I have not seen enough of her, but I kind of was hoping they would do like, another like 90s icon actress. Just a thought.
Yeah.
That would have been really cool. But yeah, so far, so good on her part.
Yeah.
But I think...
I don't recognize anything she's been in. Aside from Farscape and...
Oh, one other thing that we're going to change
Hercules.
Is... The character of Aquila, they change actresses, I read.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think the original girl wasn't brought back. They brought in a new actress, Nia Zendaya. So, I think that was the only thing going on. But
I thought that was a new character.
No, dude, she was the... They didn't explain it. I mean, I guess you don't have to explain it. You just go with it, right? But yeah, yeah. No, she's the new Aquila. Overall, I gotta say, I really like this episode. Not super excited about how they brought in the people they're going to eat, because it seems fairly obvious. But really like where it's going. I actually kind of want it more, but that's just because I really like the show. You know what I mean? Like, I would have liked to have seen Van. I wanted more Lottie shit. But this is just the first episode, so they're setting up. That was, like, maybe my only thing I wanted more of. Just wanted to watch the next episode.
They did give us a lot. It's just we're being greedy, I think. Yeah, because I agree with you. I don't know. So far, so good. Loving it.
I think we're now officially a Yellow Jackets podcast. Is that
pretty sure? Yeah.
What are we going to call our Yellow Jackets podcast?
You let us know in the comments below if I should cover. Led Zeppelin's Whole Lot of Love and call it Whole Lottie Love.
That's a Patreon goal, bro. excellent show. After Buzz. No, too on the nose, right? We'll get there. We'll find something.
Yeah,
we'll figure it out. Alrighty, let's move over to our main review of
another Possession. Popular news, so you can kind of gauge when we do these things. I know they want to know how the sausage is made.
Please tell them.
Famed, loved actor Jonathan Majors got arrested today.
Oh yeah, I did.
It's saying allegedly, but I mean, I don't know. Probably did happen. So he got in an argument with his girlfriend, or I don't know if she, they're still trying to figure out if that's actually his girlfriend, after a bar, and he physically assaulted her and hit her. Choked her and slapped her.
So I wasn't sure who it was. I didn't really dig into it. I saw the news last night, but I didn't know it was his, I assumed it was like his significant other. But yeah. I didn't know for sure. I thought he was like at a club or just like, oh, you could beat anybody up at a club. Clubs suck. They're annoying. So,
yeah. So bummer news for this version of Kang. So they're going to have to bring in a different universe Kang.
Cancel him.
Not going well for Jonathan Majors. Ant-Man apparently sucked. Still haven't seen it.
Why don't they just bring back another like non-problematic black actor like Will Smith or Chris Tucker or Eddie Murphy or
it's not looking good, folks.
Slim picking. But that's our ignorance.
I'm also gonna say I don't like the idea. I do believe people should be held accountable for their actions.
Yeah.
Except for Ezra Miller. He can be the Flash all he wants. He's never they have never done anything wrong, right? Repeatedly.
Yeah. They spoke to him very sternly.
And they were like, oh, you know what? You're right. And then the studio was like, oh, we love you. You can stay in the movies.
I think this is going to be the thing that people are going to watch is like how they handle Jonathan Majors' incident and compare it immediately to Ezra Miller. So be curious about what happens.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's your pop bites.
What are you calling it? Hot bites?
Pop bites.
Pop bites. Pop tarts. Pop. Dude. Pop. I like pop bites. We do pop bites. Pop bites.
It was wonderful. I loved it.
Yeah. Easy. Yeah, I see.
Oh, Pop and bites. another Pop Bites. Sam Neill does have cans. Which leads us to our movie. We're not Alrighty. Laughing at Sam Neill having cancer, by the way.
our poor transitions as podcasters. All right, John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
For possession, I have coming in at 3, Hellraiser, The Omen's Damien's Revenge. Coming in at 2, for possession, Humble Beginnings, The Miranda July Story.
What? I think I got that one, but that's good.
Because, like, the more I was watching the movie, I'm like, is this where Miranda July got her inspiration for who she is?
As a person.
like the iconic scene towards the end where we see the beginning of something happen really did feel like a Miranda July Instagram video. The way she was, like, moving around, and I was like, oh, man, like, it's so good. But also, I can't get Miranda July out of my head now. And coming in at 1 for possession, The Other Side of Skinamarink.
Oh, no. That's...
No, that's not a knock on the movie. I'm saying, like, we don't know what the fuck this kid is going through the entire movie. He was just left alone, and now we're finally seeing the other side of Skinamarink.
Oh, yeah. I get that. Holy shit. You and I, John, talked a little bit. I'm guessing you didn't like this movie?
No, I didn't like it. Loved it.
Oh, that's what I thought was hoping. Go for it.
Which, I had seen it a couple times before, but I think every time I had watched it previously, which was like, oh my god, well over a decade ago. I think I had always, like, kind of paused it and then moved on. And did something else, and then would come back to it and kind of forget what was going on. But this time around, I'm like, oh, fuck. Like, I remember I was trying to make dinner at one point, but I was watching the movie, and I was like, wow, this movie's so fucking good. So much. Like, so much is happening. It's so good. Cool. I pause it. I'm like, 20 minutes in? What the fuck?
Yeah.
It's a breakup. There's a, within the first 20 minutes, I can tell you, extreme breakup, a lot of, like, fighting. There is actual physical assault happening at a public restaurant where Sam Neill is, like, trying to hurt his wife. And then there's, like, a montage of Sam Neill's character, basically living what I assume most people live like during lockdown, just like in this apartment for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And then he finally cleans up and, like, goes because he realizes his son has, like, been left alone for, like, a very, very long time, allegedly.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, all right. Wow. That was a lot. Cool. And then that's when I paused it and I was like, 20 fucking minutes. Like, that had to include, like, the opening credits too. So how did all this happen in 20 minutes?
I like to think that Steven Spielberg saw this movie and was like, you know what? I need Sam Neill in Jurassic Park.
He was like, yeah, Schindler's List.
Yeah, perfect.
Which I got to start off with, like, fucking phenomenal acting all around. Like, fucking fantastic. Except for the kid.
I'm just kidding. Except for the kid. Yeah, I'm going to echo a lot of what you're saying. I've never seen this movie before, but I've heard about it. And I didn't know why it was so heralded as, you know, this great movie. And finally, this is the first time it's been on streaming. So thankfully, Shudder has it now. So go watch it. But yeah, no, I'm going to say this is going to sound like hyperbole, right? But it's not. It's just how I deeply feel. Like, this is, to me, this is what movies should be. This is like cinema, right? This is what they say.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like amazing, emotionally raw, naked acting going on here. Some of the most realistic fighting between a couple I think I've ever seen put to film. It was
real
so uncomfortable.
Tendencies and like, yeah.
Yeah, it was
honest breakup. Yeah.
And you could tell that the guy, the director, writer, director, like clearly was going, he clearly got broken up with. Yeah. It's what this movie's all about.
Because it is heavy Sam Neill, like losing it.
Yeah.
Like, it's really sad. But the thing is, like the way that happened, it like reminded me of like a breakup I had in college where I was like, wow, I really did feel that way.
Holy no, shit. Yeah. Yeah, like the...
Which and it, kind of bugged me a little bit because I'm like, but they're not in college. And then I was like, wait, how old is Sam Neill in this movie?
Yeah, no. No, yeah. And the thing that really got to me is like, there's everything in this movie. There's like, there's sex, violence... There's horror, there's like this like spy stuff going on, like there's like a little bit of everything, and it's done incredibly well. And the way they just have like this you know, like not steady cam, but they have like, they get real close to people's faces, like it's all like handheld, really sets you there. And everything these guys are doing is just so like it's done in such a way that makes you feel so uncomfortable. Like, I had so much anxiety watching this movie. Like, I had to pause it. I was like, dude, this is, like, too heavy. Like, by the time they're having their third fight, and she's, like, and the minute she introduces that, like, electric knife blade, I was like, oh, my God, these guys, somebody's going to fucking, they're going to fuck each other up. Yeah, like, yeah, he knew it was coming. I was like, I got to take a break. Like, this is getting too, you know, just the most bare, honest, emotionally acted stuff I've ever seen in film. So I was like, I gotta take a break. This is too much. And I was like,
just for the record, I did the math real quick. He was around 31, 32 when he made this movie.
Ah, amazing. How old is he now? He must be 70?
36.
Ah, yes. 36. I'm older than Sam Neill now.
Let's see. He was born in 47. However, that math.
Okay. Works out. Yeah.
In 87, he was 40. There. Quick maths.
And like, it's funny you mentioned that, like, the first 20 minutes, and then like nothing. When I paused the movie, like there was like nothing supernatural happened up to that point. There's like, there was some allusions to stuff going on, but it just seemed like she was just having an affair with her coach, and so
does like fucking
he's my favorite like character, dude.
The Spaniard idea of fighting, I think I forgot what it's called, where it's I think it's also a French style of fighting where it's a lot of like fancy movements, right? And he beats the shit out of Sam Neill at one point.
You
and
can
that's
tell...
also within the first like 25 minutes.
Yeah. It's like absolutely amazing. I'm gonna butcher her name, but Isabella Adjani.
Yeah, Adjani sounds right.
Adjani possibly gives one of the most harrowing performances I think I've ever seen in dual roles, mind you. And
which I forgot, because a lot of the beginning of the movie, I would say like the first like, I don't know, like almost 10 minutes are really just Sam Neill. Mm-hmm. And then you kind of just hear her voice over the telephone for a lot of it. Which again, the way they set all these things up, and it's like Germany, and it's very like, there's nothing around. It's very cool. But then when you finally see her at the restaurant, I was like, that's right. She's like a young lady. Her voice is so deep and very like French. I was expecting somebody a little bit older, but.
Yeah. And I mean, we'll get there, but she has maybe the craziest fucking scene in the subway. I guess it was a miscarriage. She had a miscarriage.
That's what the part I was talking about. It was very like, I couldn't stop picturing Miranda July's Instagram videos.
Yeah.
For that moment.
The weird contorting of her body and like.
Yeah. Convulsive movements. Yeah.
She's like screaming bloody murder. And it's just so done so matter-of-factly. Like, it was so believable. So
yeah.
Raw. Even Sam Neill, man. He's in this shit too. Fantastic in this.
His like seizures he's having because he's like so heartbroken in the mm-hmm. apartment are so good.
Yeah.
And then like his aggressive rocking in that rocking chair.
Yeah. Like, the way they framed it, it was fucking just surreal, but yet emotionally like resonant as yeah. well. So
I will say the amount of screaming that goes on in this movie,
too much.
And comparatively the amount of like moans that happen via sex scenes compared to the actual screaming of like other characters is not equal, right? And I kept thinking like, man, my neighbors probably think I'm just watching like some fuck like porn like sort of movie.
Torture
like,
porn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that there is a scene, I don't think this is giving me anything. There is a scene Sam Neill's like watching old tapes or reels or whatever of his wife teaching ballet, and she's forcing this like young girl to like keep her leg up, and the young girl starts to like just scream. But, like, all the screams sound so weird. They don't sound like, that's why I'm like, man, these people probably think I'm watching like weird fucking porn, like, yeah, like torture porn.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. This, I was going to say this, you had briefly mentioned, but I want to elaborate. Just the setting is also, it's like East Berlin, right? Because the wall is still yeah. up, technically. So it's just 81. So there is a kind of a, and it's just wild to see the, this, like, it's the, I don't know, the buildings. The
Yeah,
the,
before David Hasselhoff came in and saved the country.
Well, yeah. And then there was like so much like natural lighting everywhere.
Yeah.
There, you know, very, you know, everything was basically just not a light in coming from, a lot of the light was natural coming from the outside. Probably they were getting like big, huge studio lights pushing through on some stuff, but mostly it was done naturally. So,
which made excellent. Me think like this was like heavily influenced by Suspiria.
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
That movie had only come out like I think 4 years before or something, 5 years before. But yeah, I gotta. What is it about this movie that kind of like separates it from other horror movies? You're right. Like this is like a real film, like it's cinema. But I think mm-hmm. We gather that only because most of the time, setups for horror movies are either like some story you don't really give a fuck about, you know,
mm-hmm.
or like it's just kind of happening. Kind of a little bit boring for like 40 minutes because they can't afford gore effects yet. This one, you're engaged in this story. Like if the movie was just about a breakup, it would also be just as good.
Yeah. But
the fact that they added that one final element that comes in later, you're like, what in the fuck is going on?
They go... Yeah, they go everywhere.
Like hard.
Yeah, they go hard. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and the I don't know how to describe it. Like, it's not unhinged her performance, but just everything she was doing reminded me of a few other movies that she's basically crazy. Right? Whatever the fuck's going on with her, she's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, she's insane.
Possessed. Yeah,
she's possessed. Yeah, and I wanted to mention like just some other performances like this that I thought were. Maybe not on this level, because I'm going to say this is probably up there. This is up there yeah. now for me. But Ashley Judd did a movie called Bug as well, and which I thought she was excellent in yeah. that. And Cate Blanchett also in Blue Jasmine. She was excellent on that. Yeah. Both roles playing different types of, mentally, physically, you know, mentally, emotionally damaged characters. And...
What was that movie is it Betty Davis? No. Damn, there's like another movie I'm trying to think of, like an old one where like this woman has nearly lost it, and it's like a powerful performance.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I guess also like Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf?
Yeah.
What's her name? God.
Good with names.
Old starlet.
Elizabeth Taylor.
Taylor.
Okay.
Lottie, or I mean Natalie, Shauna.
Yeah.
And Vanessa. Yeah, like great movie. I feel like we did a pretty good job of describing most of the intense moments that happened at the beginning.
We have to get more into the deeper meatier stories if you want to in
meatier stories. Oh, I like it. Okay, yeah, because we already talked about new boyfriend Dance beating the shit out of Sam Neill, right?
What do you think is up with that scene where he confronts him at his apartment? He's like dancing around. It's fucking bizarre, dude. I couldn't make heads or tails of that.
That is like a real fighting style.
No, but he wasn't like a little later when he goes to find her because she hasn't shown up at his apartment. And he just shows up at his apartment, won't let him in the apartment. And he's like fucking, the camera's just following him and he's just like rolling around doing ballet moves and shit. Like,
yeah.
It's fucking also, wild, dude.
When they first meet, and he's trying to tell Sam Neill, like, you can be angry with me as much as you want, but I'm not the person you should be angry with. And then he kind of, like, holds his head or, like, he holds him. I'm like, is he going to try to
fuck him? Yeah. Yeah. Where's this story going?
Like, whoa, yeah. Like, this story is all over the place.
It was very, like, alluding. Alluding to be, like, he would totally be comfortable with a threesome or something.
Oh, and then right before that, though, we do get our first supernatural instance, which we kind of throw away because it could have just been whatever. But Sam Neill thinks he got a call from that guy, Henrik or whatever, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But it probably wasn't him.
There's a good possibility it wasn't, yeah.
I guess, yeah. And then I have a theory as to, like, we get introduced to... to make this make more sense, we got to preface that Sam Neill at the beginning of the movie comes in and he had been away for like a year doing something, like investigating, like as his job.
He's
basically the Sutter Kane, I mean, whatever his name is, in the Mouth of Madness again. Like,
yeah.
Kind of like a detective sort.
Yeah, he's like an intelligence officer, and I'm assuming it's related to the, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Spying on West Berlin or something.
So that's why he's unaware of what's going on around anything, really. And then he finally meets his kid's teacher, who is the same actress,
but with
a blonde wig and green eyes.
Yeah.
Which I was like, this has got to mean something, right? Like, there's
that they
didn't have budget for like one more character. I mean,
I thought that was another wild choice. I was like, yeah, that is the same actress. There's only like two actors in this whole fucking movie, dude. Like, I was like, where's this going? But then by the end of this movie, it's like, oh, okay, I know what they're. I think I have a pretty clear idea.
I think we probably have the same theory.
Yeah.
As to what happened.
What happened? Yeah. Yeah. Oh man, there was gonna be like one more thing, and then we can go with spoilers. I mean, if I think of it, I'll mention it. But you want to go to spoilers?
Sure. Yeah. Sure.
All right. Two spoilers.
Wait! No. Stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into...
spoilers.
Yeah, so she's... what is she sleeping with? I don't understand.
So Anna is the name of the character. Is nurturing some guts.
Yes. all of the above. So she's being possessed. I mean, I think I know what's going on. So clearly there's doppelgangers, right? So the teacher with the blonde eyes and the green eyes is a doppelganger, like we see at the end, because that squiddy, you know, fucking, Kafka-esque creature was Sam Neill.
So becoming Mark, but it's not like he changed his appearance other than having like blacker eyes, I guess. His eyes were just black was really the only change. But yeah, I'm assuming that this other version, like maybe these like, I don't know, demons trying to get into our world or something. I feel like it all started with the miscarriage. Is my guess. That's why that was so important. But I'm not sure where she found the guts. I don't know if that's really explained. Either that or I missed something. I know like the old lady that he talks to at one point is kind of giving information, and then she just like lays down and shuts down completely. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, everybody dies in this movie. So I think that by the end, Anna has a doppelganger, which is the teacher. And then Mark is turned into a doppelganger, and the original Anna and Mark die. And I think the doppelganger teacher is sort of his ideal partner. Passive, caring, doesn't really challenge him on a lot of things. And this other version of Mark is kind of like the ideal version of what she wants.
Possessive out of their relationship. And controlling, I guess. Yeah.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, what a wild, like, turn of events. You, like, see Anna had been killing a bunch of people and kind of feeding it to the new Mark. While just, like, marathon fucking it, I guess, was what I gathered was going on. she almost kills her new boyfriend, but just keeps them locked up in the bottom. But this like thing, whatever it is, has some sort of abilities that what make people kind of lose control, and they can't. They just kind of lose control of what any sort of choices they have, and you can kind of see it when Mark, you know, sees that the I guess like all the bodies and shit, like he's starting to lose control, but then as soon as like he opens the windows and like sticks his head outside, he's fine. Or like some sort of clarity comes back for reasons. I don't know.
Yeah, and you know, when she's like, this is a wild scene. Oh, touched my microphone, shouldn't have touched it. There's a wild scene where Anna is like having sex with it or whatever, and he walks in on it, sees it. And they just linger enough on Sam Neill's face and horrified reaction that it just sinks so real, as if like you were to catch a spouse cheating on you. That it played so real, even though this is like the craziest fucking thing, possibly weirdo gonzo fucking thing that possibly happened.
I think it's more of a realization too that he just went through so much to cover up the fact that she had been killing people, including killing her new lover because he was going to fucking rat her out. I mean, rightfully so too, but, cause I also, I want to talk about that scene, cause I really appreciate that in Germany, the tank for the toilets is like, no, but like 6 feet above where the actual toilet bowl is at. Like, it's like above the stalls.
Yeah. That was awesome. I really want to go to that bar. Bar looked fun.
It looked fun.
Like, that was a cool looking bar. That would be a cool bar. Dirty, dingy, old fashioned European
idea of what Western bar culture is like, it felt like.
But yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it was like the realization that he went through so much and they're both like royally fucked, and then he like catches her fucking this thing that's mostly a head that he's not looking at. And a bunch of guts. I don't know.
Blood. Fucking shit. Fucking. I don't know. It's dressed up in all kinds of disgusting things. But yeah.
And then that's when she says, like, it's almost there. It's almost happening. Which I thought meant, like, this thing is almost done. Marathon fucking her.
Marathon fucking her. But yeah. But no, it was transforming.
Yeah, and then a series of weird things where Mark is just starting to lose it too. Like, he gets in a motorcycle accident because he steals somebody's motorcycle and then throws it into the river.
Yeah.
Then he's like running up the stairs. And then, I'm not sure, was that supposed to be all his blood all over the place? I didn't quite understand that. But
no, I think that was maybe the other guy's, because he was going to run into whatever the people, government people, he was trying to get him to do more jobs, because he said he was done.
They showed up.
Some shit like that. Yeah, those two weird government people showed up trying to get him to do more work.
Yeah.
Or they didn't want to basically let him go. And then he, like, fought them off or whatever, and they murdered him. And
well, they murdered Anna, right? I think, like, they were trying to murder him, but it was doppelganger Mark who was not affected at all. And then Anna, I think, came to and decided to kill herself on top of Mark, as, you know, lovers do.
As lovers do. And then Samuel is like, no, I'm not dying with her, and dudes threw himself off of staircase.
Fuck this bitch. Evil Mark runs into that lady you just barely met, I think, and is like, hey, I want you to just shoot these people if they come up the stairs. And she's like, okay. so he has some sort of power, yeah. But not enough to be able to just kind of jump out of the building. He needs to use her help to get on top of the door that they opened so he could climb out of the sky panel.
That scene, I'm sorry, this is going to be off topic, but that scene reminded me of the scene in, was it The War of the Roses, where Michael Douglas and Cybill Shepherd are fighting. And they're fighting for the house, fighting for possessions, divorcing, and they go to such extremes that they basically both kill each other, or you're about to die, and Michael Douglas at the very end reaches for her hand, he's dying or whatever, reaches for her hand, tries to hold it, and she pushes it away. She's like, no, I don't want it. They both end up dying, and then Danny DeVito got the house. Fabulous movie. But yeah, I don't know, and then the son kills himself. He's like, no, I don't want to be either one of you. I'm going to fucking drown myself.
Because the kid is fucking yelling, there were a couple don't of open, comic. Don't open. But unless my subtitles were on, my captures were on, I wouldn't have been able to understand. He's like, don't open, don't open, don't open, don't open. Which she doesn't. Doppelganger Anna, known as Lauren, I think is her name. Helen.
Helen
doesn't open it, but then there's a bunch of sirens. I'm assuming bombs are finally starting to happen, or maybe the wall's finally gonna fall. So opportunity for them to escape. But she is happy with this, right? Because obviously she was evil the whole time. And little kid is don't open, and she gets closer to the door and the bombs are falling, so the kid's like, no, and just face first jumps into the bath, right? It just kind of floats there. Not even like normal, I'm drowning, struggling, just floats there.
Everybody dies in this movie. This guy clearly had a bad breakup, divorce.
Yeah.
Something. He went mega dark on
this. Clearly that person had several lovers that he really wanted to kill, so he killed them off in this movie.
He killed them all off. Male, female. It's European, so.
Yeah.
This is a European divorce.
So reportedly, writer-director Andres, I'm not going to try to attempt that, has said that he penned the film screenplay during the divorce he was going through at the time with actress Malgorzata Runick.
Yeah. This feels like a breakup movie. I know, you know what's funny is we've seen a couple of breakup movies, definitely breakup movies, but I think this is like the most extreme version we've seen.
Yeah. Amazing film, though. I loved it.
I loved, yeah, me too. And you know what? They had it showing last year at the LaMelle. And they made like a big deal about it. It's like, oh, we're releasing it. And sometimes I like to, I love just going to LaMelle and just checking out what they have. I like the stuff that they show, you know, like the independent stuff. So I know. The theater situations here are so awful. It's like AMC or LaMelle or like some other fucking shitty.
The new Bev plays Possession once in a while.
Oh, yeah. That's cool. I'm just saying, like, I would have loved to have gone, and I should have made more of an effort to go see it.
I know. Or even at the Vista Vintage during, like, the midnight showings.
Oh, yeah. Seeing it in theater would have been wild. Seeing this in theater would have been fucking wild to watch it, especially for a first time. This is, like...
Off topic, but I did get to see Evil Dead in theaters, which was fucking bad. Oh, not the fucking Fed Alvarez bullshit, but...
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the new one jerks you off, so can't wait for that.
Yeah, I'm excited for that.
To say do. So, yeah.
With the Olivia Wilde doppelganger.
Oh. Yeah, you're right. She's got a deadite in her. Not just Harry Styles. But
which
yeah.
Is no longer happening.
I know. True Pop love. Bite. Who would have thought? True love's dead, guys. Alrighty. Do you have any last thoughts?
No, I'm ready for my bones.
Ooh, is this gonna be the first 10 movie ever? I don't know. We'll see.
We'll find out.
Alright. Just a sec. Alright, John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give?
Don't do that. Just rate the movie.
I'm going to give Possession 9.5 sexy spooky bones.
Okay. I am going to give it 10. Because though this movie, like, I don't think I want to watch it anytime soon. I think I'm good. But I think it... qualifies for that 10 ranking because it's kind of a perfect movie. Like,
yeah,
to me, it's like I said, it's cinema. It's like challenging. It's like off-putting. There's amazing acting in it. You know, there's like perfectly well-told story. Crazy, like everything imaginable you want in a movie is in this movie. So
regular bones, I would give it 10 for sure. Horror, spooky, sexy bones, it's still got to be a 9. It's not Evil Dead 2.
Yeah, that's true. So I guess that goes back to that argument, right? Like I can appreciate this movie, but it isn't like a favorite film of mine that I can watch over and over again.
But just come the holidays, right?
Come the holidays.
Pop this one on, pop X-ray on right after.
They go hand in hand. Yeah, but I feel comfortable giving it 10, the 10 of the sexiest, spookiest bones I could possibly give it.
Perfect.
All right. Wouldn't say that. The thing is perfect. Actually, it's perfect. But all right, guys, gals, non-binary pals, thank you for listening, and as always,
stay spooky. Don't open.